awesome guest speaker today. So if you would, put your hands together. He's coming all the way from across the river. Pastor Mark Ward, amen.
Is that it? All right. Can you hear me now? There we go. Awesome. About a month or two ago, Pastor Mark had given me a date to come and speak. And, of course, I'm here every week, but to come and speak. And one of the things, he picked the day that it's my wife's birthday. I got to call her out. So give my wife a hand clap. Lord knows without her, I wouldn't be here. It's the way I feel at times. Thank God for Carrie in my life, amen. So we're going to try to have dinner and do some birthday stuff at some point today. Last week, who was here last week and listened to Pastor Ty talk about that God is able and God will, amen? Woo! Talk about a powerful message because it's true. And whenever we walk around in life, I think, I'm just going to touch on that for a minute, we always have to be reminded in this crazy world we live in just how big God is. And what his plan's been since the beginning, and that God doesn't change. And that's a powerful thing. We have to walk in that revelation daily. I have to continue to remind myself that he's a big God in the midst of the trials that we face outside these four walls every day, amen? We go out into a world that doesn't recognize what's good and what's righteous and what's true and what's love. You know, I tell you, the thing that I feel dissipating amongst us is love inside of what evil intends to do to us. It wants to pull us out of love for one another and love for God. Amen. What's the best, the highest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and love your neighbor as. We don't love our neighbors very well at times because we're mad. Honestly, we're comparing ourselves on Facebook all the time that I want to be better than somebody else, or I want to know what someone else is doing. You know, we get into social media stuff, and there's all kinds of stuff we could talk about today, and I just want to be led by what God's plan is. And but I do know this. God has intention today to break something. Woo! And I've been feeling this for about a month now. There's going to be a lot of things break. God intends to break things in us each and every day of our life if we will listen to him and we will surrender to him and we will humble ourselves to his plan and we will dig deep and not be afraid to be embarrassed about where we fall short. Woo! God, we just got to quit putting the face on. He wants us to break the chains off. He wants us to get real with him every day. He wants me to say, God, I can't do it because I need a Savior. Man, I can't do this, Lord. Because here I'm standing before you to tell you that I can't do it. Not without Jesus. You know, the revelation that you need a Savior puts you in right standing with God every day. Just because I'm saved and I'm baptized at one point doesn't mean, and it's a free gift. Understand, I'm not unsaved, but I can start chasing the world and I can get outside of God's plan in my life and I can begin to separate myself from what his perfect will is for me just because I'm chasing this crazy world. I know by faith that I'm saved. And we all have to go outside these four walls. And at times I'm like, God, can you just leave me in the church? Because it's easier. Ooh, at times. It's difficult to preach. I'm not saying that. But when we go out here and we fight those battles every day, we're fighting a rugged battle. And we have to fuel up in the Lord. And we have to be strong. We have to chase him down. I have to chase God every day. I love those songs. We picked out great songs, Luke. Hey, give our worship team a hand clap. I tell you, Luke, and man, they're just... Parker playing the drum. I mean, just all of them. Grace is starting to get up there and do some stuff. I'm challenging her. She can do it too. But okay, we're going to pray about a lot of things today as we go through. But I want to ask you a question before we start. Does everyone have peace and joy today? Amen. Good answer, Betty. No. I mean, and I mean, really. God was like. Mark, my people get up every day, and if they understood how big I am, how much love I have, how good I am, they would be walking in peace, and they would have the joy of the Lord. Woo! But in reality, can we honestly wake up in the morning and say that that's what I walk right into on a daily basis? Because what we're going to get into today is whether or not God is our refuge. What is our refuge? Amen. That's going to be the message title today, and we're going to get into that. So God, I got up this morning and goes, Mark, just ask my people if they have my joy and peace today. Let me say it one more way. Do they have the joy and the peace that was bought back by the blood of Jesus, my son? Do you have that kind of peace and joy? Do you have the purchased back peace of God by the blood of Jesus today? Woo, because he wants us to have it, amen? And even we can walk boldly in it. What I learned is I'm like, God, we're going to get up in front of your people today. Give me boldness. And you've got my back, right, Lord? And he goes, really, Mark? If you read this, he's got my back today and he's got yours. We got to rely on Jesus that he's strong enough, he's powerful enough every day to walk out of whatever junk we're dealing with. No matter what the world is throwing with us, we can climb over into his lap and he's got me covered until the death. That's why he came to save Mark. And that's why he came to save you too. Purchased back by the blood of Jesus. That's me today and it will be every day. Even if I'm not directly following his plan every second because I'm chasing a crazy world and mess up at times. Amen. We got to stop there because, see, here's the deal. Jesus was your Savior yesterday. If you know him, he's your Savior today, and he needs to be my Savior tomorrow. And I'm going to need him ongoing until the death. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm just as saved now. I'm going to be in heaven when I die as I am standing on this pulpit today. I'm just as saved right now. And God wants us to live with that kind of joy and peace. He wants to proclaim it to everyone. Amen. That's a good deal. He wants us to proclaim the power of God and the love of God each and every day of our life. Yeah. And I'm like, God, I'm not worthy. And he goes, wait a minute, Mark, did I call you? Did I tell you you was worthy by the blood of my son? Well, yes, Lord. Well, then go forward and believe it. Woo! And don't be afraid of the world telling you that you're not good. Don't be afraid of the enemy telling you, Mark, you don't deserve it. We sang the song, I Don't Deserve It. Good call. Because his love is reckless. And it's chasing me down. Fights till I'm found. And you know how many times in my life it's left the 99? Someone needs to hear that today. Just for me, he leaves the 99. And he's doing it again today. And he will tomorrow. Wow. Okay, we're going to pray because if not, I'm going to blow plumb through this. But we also want to pray. It was brought up. We want to pray about Afghanistan and what's going on there. We also want to pray about the hurricane and people struggling. I believe that it sends angels to flight. We need to pray together. So I'm going to pray for this service, pray for the things going on around the world as we enter in. And then I believe God's going to speak to us today. Here's the deal. He came to speak to you. If you're sitting there and go, God, I'm not good enough for God to speak to me, you need to stop that. Today you came here specifically so the Holy Spirit can speak to you, and that's every day, okay? Because he's got a word for you today, and it under the power of the Holy Spirit, you're here to hear from him, and so am I. He's going to teach me a lot today. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, God. We know what's going on around the world. We know the trials that we all see out there. We know about this hurricane and the people and the things that are going to come. God, we pray your safety, your protection, your blessing over them and over, gosh, all the people in Afghanistan and our people here, but really it's people all around the world, God. Just send your angels out to put guard up, God, and take care of all of them, all the people here locally, this community, this state. I'm so thankful for the state that we live in, of Oklahoma, God, for the town that we live in, the towns out here, God, that who we are here, God, and I'm thankful, God. We pray a blessing. We pray peace over this service. I pray, God, that you use me to your will. God, I throw all my crowns at your feet and be all about you today. And nothing that can come from me would be anything but land. If it's anything from me, it would land on deaf ears. But by your throne, God, you'll speak to your people and you're going to set captives free today. God, I'm thankful for the word you're fixing to bring. And God, I'm just thankful for your peace and your joy in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to get into that because we're all here by appointment. Okay, every day God has an appointment for you. If you'll wake up and you'll seek him, get your word out and do that. I got to testify to Carrie. Her refuge is God. And she's going to let me go, Mark, don't talk about me. But I'm going to talk about Carrie today because she gets up, she gets her Bible out, and she writes every day, even if it's just, I need you, Lord, every day. And it makes me go, good job, Carrie. And I try to do that, and I get up, and the world comes flying at me with ball games and life and business and everything else. I'm like, I need to catch up with my wife, you know. But there's an appointment. I learned this a long time ago. One of the first things that God showed me when I was chasing God, fell on the bottom, got to get back on my feet. I found out God was good. Woo! I found out that He can restore. I found out He can redeem, even if we don't deserve it. So no matter what you're going today, someone here is sitting there going, I can't be restored from that. And there's no redemption for me in that. I can hear and testify that that's not true. There is redemption and restoration every day for you, and it can happen on a turn of a dime. God's that big. He can turn life around because God's in control. But here's what I learned. He goes, so every day I started showing up in church, and I started going like this. So someone needs to hear this too. I would show in, and I would sit down, and I'd go, and I started listening to God so hard because I started finding out He was right. And I'd sit there, and I'd go, talk to me, God, and He was talking right to me. But I found out He was talking to everybody, okay? And He was just it's just some preacher talking, but in reality, the Holy Spirit's going to talk to all of us today. I believe that He's going to use me as a willing vessel. And I'd come in, I'm going, God, You're talking to me every day. And I'd run to the front every week. That was for me. And boy, it started cleaning me up. We all need cleanup. Just after I get saved, that began the process of me cleaning up. I didn't wake up the next day and all the junk I'd seen and been taught and everything I went through in life had just disappeared, amen? So what we got to do is we got to go out every day with an appointment that I need to clean something up and God has to replace it. For me, the only way I could start moving forward is if I took a piece of junk in my life that I learned that was wrong or something that wasn't directed right, get it out, but then I had to fill that empty space up with the Word. And so I came to church every week and I'm like, talking to me. But you know why He was? Because I was looking. So God's asking, are you really looking today? Because I was on the bottom going, God, every day I show up, please tell me something. And as long as I'm looking like that, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I was showing up, running to the Lord, not embarrassed, not afraid of anybody, what they would say or do, running to the throne of God every day and letting Him fill my life back up of the emptiness that I was creating as this transformation took place. Are we perfect? No. Do I still exercise the same thing? Absolutely. Oh, something I'm not proud of, God. I'll get rid of that. I'll fill this up. Let's fill it up with something new. Maybe we'll just talk today. No, there really is a really good message behind. I'm believing that God's going to take us exactly through this and take you right to what you need to hear today. So have your heart and mind open to receive that. A lot of the things I end up saying and doing, God, I go on about 10 assignments a year maybe, and a lot of the same core things that He tells me to tell the people are the same. A lot of the same scriptures that He's given me lifetime ministry when I do evangelism ends up being a lot of the same things. But today He showed me that it's time to find out what our refuge is. What is our refuge? Okay, so I'm going to tell you what refuge is, all right? By definition, a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. Okay, now you're going to have to be honest with yourself now. Who feels like you're being pursued by danger? Wow. Trouble, being chased down, being pursued, and running from the things around us in life. I'm not good at that. Someone's going to find out about that. And we're running to the wrong things. We're running. Okay, because what I don't want to do, if that should speak to us today, because God really showed me something is pursuing us, and it's not God. God always pursues us. He's always set. He's always there for us, but we're being chased by an enemy. This plan is to destroy us. And if you don't get up every day, and if you're not in a refuge knowing the Lord, then more than likely you can feel yourself being pursued. Who can testify to that? Something's chasing me, I feel like, every day. The world's out there going, I feel like I got to perform just right. And they're going to go, see there, I caught Mark, he messed it up. Promise you, I'm going to mess it up, so let's just clear that up. I mean, I'm not going to be perfect. If we're out there living in this world, coaching guys, relate it to your job, anything you're doing, you're not going to be perfect. Okay? So, but when you're running around, so we're like, if I just get all myself fixed up just right, something will stop pursuing me. No. If you haven't noticed, you're still being chased. Okay, now let's go into this. Here's what God showed me. It's like playing tag when you're a little kid. So I remember being at Camargo, we had the big trees out there, and you run from one tree, there's the base. You run back to, you know what I'm talking about. You run back to the other tree. If you're in that line, I'm safe. I made it to the base. Okay? Well, when a refuge for you is the base and you're safe. So let's use that analogy. When you're a little kid and you're running from the pursuit of the enemy. Okay? But how many times did you get there sometimes? No, that's not the base. We changed it. Oh. And then you get tagged. And then everybody starts deceiving everybody, right? And they start tricking us into what is safe and what the base is. And wait, we call this the base. No, that's not the base anymore. Okay? Has everybody got me now? Now, stay with that concept. So I'm running around, and I'm on base. No, you're not. You're it. Okay. So the enemy ran me down, right? So that's the same thing that we do. So I'm going to ask you today, here's a clear question. What is your refuge? Okay. A condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit. Money. I'm going to use that one as a big one to kind of correlate today. Money's going to make me feel safe from this pursuit and things because I can use my money to clean it up. Okay, or I can use my whatever makes me feel good to clean it up or to make me feel safe to clean it up. And one of the big ones, I'm just going to use money because it's one. Money is not evil, but the love of it is to where it becomes your God. Now understand that, okay? So if I am placing money in front of what we talked about, love the Lord thy God, right? If we put money in front of that or we start chasing money to fix my problems and fix this pursuit, what we're really doing is creating, it's spiritual adultery. I'm relying on something else to make me feel safe and comfortable. You see? So you know what I would need in that situation? Let's get rid of that. Wow. No one wants to hear that. Let's get rid of that and let me see where I can really get my refuge to. Amen. This is good. What God has for me is my refuge. Woo! Can't keep up. I don't have the nicest car, Joe. Okay. You see what I'm saying? So we're being pursued. So I'm going to read the scripture, and we're going to go through some more of these. It's Psalm 46, and there's not a ton of scripture today, but we're going to bring out what I believe God's showing us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Leave that right there, please, babe. Wow. Therefore, we will not fear. This is what I got out, and I've heard a pastor too preach on this. If the mountains are being carried into the midst of the sea and the earth's being removed, wouldn't we be a little scared? I mean, let's get real here. There's a message being sent here that that's how big God is. Not, I don't care if the mountains fall in the sea. We will not fear. You see what I'm saying? Now, that's a big, that, to me, that's huge. Okay, so we start looking at Scripture, and things start coming out of the page at us, and it starts speaking to us. So God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need. It's present in all my time of need. Do you know how I understand that it's there in my time of need? When I'm chasing Him and He's my refuge when I don't have a time of need or I don't feel like I do. When He's my refuge all the time, then when the time of need comes, He already is there. And my mindset about chasing God is already in place. So therefore, when I see the storm coming, it goes right on by and I just stay focused on my refuge. But if the only time I run to Jesus after I'm chasing all these other refuges in my life is when I have a time of trouble, I'm going to be cleaning up stuff the whole way. It's not that Jesus isn't going to catch me and begin to restore me and redeem me, but God wants us to live the joy and the peace that we talked about when we got here all the days of our life. And to do that, if I make Jesus my refuge all the time when the troubles come, I'm going to give you an example, silly example. Played a baseball game yesterday, really wanted to win. We got beat 4-2. We coached it hard, did everything right, and it just went right by me because it was a great day for us and we lost. Okay, what was happening is God's my refuge. Everything that we could possibly do in the midst of that game was really good. Young men grew, a lot of great things happened, and we lost the game. But see, if I'm chasing the worldly things, I'm running over here, I'm mad, I'm on to my kids, and there's all this junk that can take place, and Joe's mad, and mom and dad so-and-so didn't play, you know, and then you get into all this stuff. But when Jesus is my refuge, just using sports as an example, I can rest in the peace that everything I did that day was of God because I've just got this blanket and this covering and this refuge of Jesus around me, and it goes right on by. Because you know what He'll ultimately do with everything that happens? He's going to turn it to the good. He's going to turn it to the good. And there's some of you sitting there going, there's no way you can turn that to good. Oh, someone needs to hear that. Yes, he can. Takes some time sometimes. Takes a little bit of time sometimes. And it takes some pursuit of Jesus. But he can turn all things together for the good for those who love God. We need to know that. That's good. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, I will not fear. Woo! That's good. Okay, so what else do we chase? There's drugs, alcohol, sexual sin, more common things. Pastor Mark, I laugh about this. He always says peanut butter. That's where I feel safe and secure. I'm trying to calm it down because we all chase things, right? Peanut butter. We literally chase Facebook. We chase Facebook because I can go get to Facebook and get lost over here for a little bit, and it brings me, it gets my mind off of what's going on. Go look at everybody else's junk, but we're really just chasing this base that isn't safe. You see what I'm saying? There's no safe base over there chasing Facebook. All we're doing is cluttering ourselves up with more deception of people that are trying to convince us that they're better than we are, and we're all chasing everything except for this, because when we can put this up next to it, it abolishes all that, and I'm like, why aren't I looking at this instead of this? Because this is bringing me misery. Wow. And we chase that social media. We chase Facebook. They can sue me. I don't have enough to give them. But you know, I'm just kidding. I do, though. I go to Facebook. I'm sitting there measuring. What do I want to do? I want to stop my mind. So I watch people in church. I watch people at ball games and stuff. I got so blessed today. A couple little kids come in. We're worshiping. And a lot of people that come in the morning, they come in and we're worshiping. And the Holy Spirit's moving in here during our worship practice. Okay? And I mean, the Holy Spirit's moving. And we all kind of, and we get distracted as adults, and we're all checking our phones. And these little kids that don't really love to have a phone are just engaged in it. Wow. They're just, and I just notice these little kids, and I'm going, wow, out of the mouths of babes or out of the sight of what these babes do, they'll teach us. They were just engaged in that, just the Holy Spirit presence. See how distracted we are? Yeah. I do it at night. I got to have my milk and cookies and my peanut butter and whatever, you know. I mean, and that's a silly thing, but it is true. What do we reach for? What do we seek to bring us peace in time of need? And it can be just these subtle things. I love to go to baseball. I actually like going to games. I like coaching games. It doesn't bother me what people think or what happens. It's kind of a refuge for me, honestly. Afterwards, when I deal with people before, it may not be. But when I'm out there actually on the field, it's a refuge for me. At one point in time, it was my God. I chased it to the point that when I gave it up for that 5-year period and wrote this book and went through that period of time, I was having withdrawals. I mean, to the point that I was a nervous wreck by quitting baseball. Travelers baseball that I set aside, God brought it back to me and restored it, and we went on an amazing journey that was really good and healthy. Wow, when he gave it back to me. But I had to lay that Isaac down. I had to take that to the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to lay this Isaac down. And the Lamb showed up, and 5 years later, he took me back with a clean heart and a clean mind and a love for young men that was righteous. And it changed me. And I pray for my kids, even if they say I don't need to be coaching anymore, I'll still pray for them. They can run, anybody can run me off anytime, but I'm going to keep praying for young men, and I'm going to keep speaking Scripture into their life, even if I'm not perfect. Okay? So anyway, all right, so let's go forward. Question, who is dealing with worry, stress, who is afraid, who is nervous, who is depressed? Probably, I'm going to say, if it's not 100% of us that woke up with some of that this morning, then you're way better than I. I mean, I've got things going on in my life. I wake up this morning, and it's there. The problem is, let's just come together as a body and just be there and believers with each other. If we could all just drop our guard down and chase this together and be the body of Christ and help each other, not be embarrassed or afraid to just say, hey, I'm dealing with stuff, we could all move. There can be movement take place, and the Holy Spirit can get work done when we can bear each other's burden. I want to bear you guys' burden. I want to bear these young men's burden who don't know that I coach. And I guess there's some burdens there. And at the end of the day, it's not about getting a hit. Sometimes the young man in front of me just needs someone to love him and hug him. I said, but God, I'm supposed to preach in front of thousands of people. He goes, I got one boy I need you to go to, Mark. Is that enough? Sure. Whatever you tell me to do, God. I'm purchased back. I don't really have a choice in this. You called me to do that, so I'm going to chase a young man that needs me. There's a lot of them.
God just revealed to me just how many of them there are that need Jesus. And I carry that weight. I carry that compassion in my heart because they need to know it. They need to know where their victory's at, and they need to chase it right, and they need to get after it and get it right the first time if they can. Man, everybody has a refuge, and we all need one at some point. Amen? Okay, so they don't like to admit that we have fear because it makes us weak. How many of us? I'm afraid. Honestly, fear is the big one. It's fear and faith. We want to act like, blame it on worry, blame it on depression, blame it on all these other things. But quite honestly, the root cause of 90%, I believe this, of things that we deal with of mankind is fear. The number one command in the Bible, I say it every time, do not fear. God tells his people, do not fear, more than he tells people anything else in this book. So it's a choice. He's asking us not to fear. Well, I believe if he's our refuge, it takes that out of our life, or it can, especially the mountains are crumbling to the sea. Amen. Okay, so how many times do we choose something for God? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Let's go to Malachi 3:6, please. I love this scripture. I always go back to this because somebody here needs to hear this. And all the time, we want to believe that if I don't perform right, or something happens, that God's going to change who he is, or that God's wishy-washy and goes back and forth on his promise. We need to know this, for I am the Lord. I do not change. Woo! Therefore, you are not consumed. I cannot be consumed as long as I know Jesus as refuge, because he is my Lord and he does not change. If God was able to change, I would be running around going, I hope I get it right, God. The problem is he's exactly right. He doesn't change in who he is. And right there promises me that I cannot be consumed. They can't eat me and take me. Nothing can snatch me out of the hand of God based on his word. Boy, that should bring you joy. Brings me joy today to preach it. It should bring you joy to know that today. If you choose the wrong refuge, we begin to grow distant from God. We talked about that. I'll just keep fixing it here. We all do it. I borrow from Peter to pay Paul on my finances. We're all running around going, if I can just fix that one, I'll be okay, right? We're all doing it, okay? What God would ask us to do is step over here and stand your ground. It's like what Ty talked about last week. God is able and God will, but sooner or later, we want to put both feet in the ground of his word, and we want to stand firm, and we want to say, I shall not be moved, because Jesus is good and he's got this, and stand firm in it and let him redeem and restore my life. The last 30 days, something happened. The last 20 to 30 days, something happened to me personally. I woke up one morning and God was putting me on assignment for today. And I believe there's more assignments to come, because sometimes he does that with me, and something inside me just changed. Was I overlooking for it? No, I was worshiping in the morning. I was trying to get in my word. But all of a sudden, God, it was like, Mark, let's go. I've got something for you to do. I got something for you to do. And so what I started doing was seeking harder. I started pressing in and trying to figure out what my refuge is. Okay? How many times do you hear people say they just don't feel close to God right now? Ooh, God's just not with me. I don't know where God's at. I mean, we do that. I don't know where God's at. Why isn't God with me? I'm going to tell you something. God didn't move. One of the two in this relationship is able to move, and it's not God. And I've been there, guys. I'm a mover. I've been at times. I'm like, oh, man, if I can just, maybe someone will get a hit and people will like me because I'm a good enough coach. I mean, maybe we win a game, you know, and we chase this crazy stuff. I use baseball because I coach. I mean, you guys get it. But there's a lot bigger things. You get the analogy in your own life. Something that you're chasing, try to fix it with. No, trust God. Trust God. I trust it until he reveals to me what to do next. But I also have courage to take steps. Now, here's what God showed me in my life. He goes, Mark, you got faith. The one thing I can tell you is I'm not afraid to pursue God. When I'm up or down, no matter where I'm at, because God has showed me this in my personal life, and this may speak to you. When I move my ship forward, he'll steer me. But when I sit back and I just get on my heels or just sit down and just don't move in God, or don't start trying to take steps towards what I kind of feel God wants for me, my ship can't go forward, and then he can steer me. But as long as I have faith enough to stand up and start walking forward, He brings people into my life across my path, and He shows me things that I need to be doing, and all of a sudden, my ship is moving. Wow, then there's someone else going, hey, Mark, we got a deal. You want to come preach for it? Sure, I do. And then I start following the Word, and then doors start opening. Amen? We've been there. And what I do is I go through life, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I just need to make my ship move. But the enemy, what he does with me, here's the trick. Someone needs to hear this too, because you're doing this. We're too busy. I got too many. I'm juggling them. This is what everybody speaks over me. I'm juggling these balls. Okay, I can handle these four. Oh, there's five. And I'm juggling the fifth ball. And what the enemy knows, Mark, you're not going to tell anybody no, so I'm just going to have everybody come ask you. I'm just going to give you so many balls. I'm not even going to pursue you. I'm just going to let everybody just come to you, and now all of a sudden, do you know how many balls I'm dropping? I have to tell people no sometimes, and I have to slow down. Because I want to help all these things, but when there's too many balls to juggle, so I've learned the enemy, tell the enemy, stop that. I want the things in my life that you want for me, God, to manage, and I want to manage them well. Starts with my wife and my children. And if I can't get to that point, then I'm not going to get up here. Whether we know that or not, ministry is not my relationship with God or my relationship with my children. This comes after all that. It always will. I had to learn that the hard way. At first, I thought, I'm trying to run down the road without God. First in my life and chase ministry. Ministry can be your refuge instead of God. Amen. God just told me that just now. You know, and that's true. Okay, question. How many of you are ready to go home to be with the Lord? How many times do you say this? I want to go home and be with, I'm just ready to go home and be with the Lord. When you get tired of it. Only when we get tired of chasing these other refuges. We do it at our house. Maybe Jesus will just come back. Amen. Have you ever done that before? If Jesus will come back, we can walk over into glory and just be done with this. That's normally because we've chased all these other refuges. We finally get to the point, God, just come back, because our heart really is telling us, just line up with me in the first place. Does that make sense? Just line up with me in the first place, because you know that I'm right, Mark. If you've heard the truth and been exposed to it, know Jesus is your Savior, you know He's right. That's what I learned. I know that I know through the miracles every day that this is 100% true. People always ask me all the time, how do you know? I know for a fact. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. I witnessed my entire family playing praise and worship when none of us had played music. None of us. I'm 40-some years old. That has nothing to do with me. That was being willing and faithful and chasing God. And I picked up a guitar one day. I said, I'm going to play it. And when I see my son and the manifestation of all that happening, I'm going, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. Wow. And that's just one example. I'm just trying to testify, because God tells us in the Word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies, there are only two things I can really tell you. And that's the blood of Jesus is good, and I can tell you how He's fixed my life. I can testify. Based on that, I can tell you that that's a miracle. And there's so many more. I can go on and on. So when people question the power of God or that God's real, they're wrong. You see, or God's not real. They're wrong. 100% of what Jesus says in this, I will testify every day, is true. Unto the death. And the enemy doesn't like to hear that, so he does everything he can at times to make sure he can make us drop all these, to render us harmless. Because you know what he's asking after? The word of your testimony, to try to destroy it. And what you got to realize, the enemy's been trying to destroy us all the time, that pursuit, right? So here it comes. He's been trying to destroy me since I was little, because he doesn't want this to happen right now in your life, in my life, or anybody else, does he? No, he doesn't want to hear that, because you know what? He's reminded that he's doomed. The enemy today, by faith in God and the blood of the Lamb, is reminded that he's doomed. And just like when that song was saying, I mean, we went through it all the whole time today. He's reminded that he's doomed. He's rendered powerless today by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? And it's so good, guys. It's so powerful. I may not even get into the other scripture, because I'm going to have to roll through this. I will quickly. Carrie's looking up. I only went through two pages of this today, but that's where we're led, right, today. What is your refuge? What are we going to seek today by the Word? Because He tells us this. He's the Lord. He's not changing. He's asking us to pursue Him. Get up every day. Get in the Word. You know how I do it? The easiest way for me to do is I'm a music guy. Turn on worship music and keep it going. Keep it going. And you know what's doing right now? It's in my head all day long. I'm at the ball field. It's in my head. You know, I'd be surprised how many times I'm sitting there in the coaching box praying in the Spirit. You know, honestly. I mean, it's, what do I need to do? I don't know what I need, God, but I'm praying in the Spirit. You fix it. Do we need to get hit or not? Most of the time, I hope I do because it brings me glory and my team wins. That's all over here in pride and envy. Maybe I just pray in the Spirit and needs to get hit or not, God. That's deep, isn't it? Because I started doing that. I had a kid fail one day. I looked at him and I was like, God, does this kid just need to fail? And he failed. And all of a sudden, I stopped looking at coaching the same way because I needed to get a hit so we could win. When that kid failed, it broke. It broke his dad. They had a talk. They came to me. He hit bottom because his God was baseball, and so was his dad. And from that day forth, a life-changing thing took place. He found Jesus as his Savior. Wow. And I'm like, so I stopped coaching third base the same way again. Wow, you're dealing with that in life. All of you are. Workplace, other places, okay? I'm going to go quick into this scripture. It's Mark 4:35, and I want to wrap up. I just want to run through this, babe. So there's some keys in this. It's in Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. This is Pastor Mark and I's favorite book of the Bible is Mark. He always says that. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon, a fierce storm came up, high waves breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Disciples woke up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still," or "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid?" I love this scripture. I use it for everything. Today he showed me something totally different. I should talk about this going over from one side of the lake to the other, going to the other side of the problem. But he showed me different stuff today. You see, Jesus was asleep in their lives. And you know what was probably happening here? These sailors are running around, these disciples, trying every way they can to make sure this boat don't sink. First, what are they going to do? We got to make sure this boat don't sink. You know, see, they're running around fixing the boat, right? You know they are. They're frantically, and then throw up my hands. What am I going to do? Go wake up Jesus. Woo! Now we'll wake up Jesus. Don't you care? Okay, now honestly, how many can testify that you've actually asked the Lord, "God, don't you care? What's the matter, Lord? Why can't you fix it? I'm supposed to win and go to state." Kidding. Baseball-wise. You see what I'm saying? We're supposed to. No, stop. What we have to do is understand that God's big and He needs to be woke up in our lives and let the real things, the love, the hope, the relationship, all the things that I see manifesting in God become part of our life instead of all these things of the world we're chasing because Facebook's wrong and so is everybody else that doesn't follow this. We have got to stop that in the world because as we're getting pressed clean out and it's wrong. This is true. And the things that I'm pursuing every day is conflicted because most of the people when I coach are so dedicated to the fact that everything relies on if I'm the best player and if I win. To the fact that it's their entire life. And whenever a young man's life is completely built and he can just hit three hole and play shortstop, then he doesn't do that anymore, there's a problem coming because we have an identity crisis. Oh, so I need to be out there making people, getting myself in a position to where Jesus can be preached. Because right now, we're all stuck in our phones and stuck in the world. And as we grow, I could go into the scripture, the knowledge of good and evil, when they ate of the fruit. Then you will know. Then your eyes will be open, and you will know the knowledge of good and evil. Well, as knowledge expands, it's rooting us plumb out because we don't need to be smarter. You know who I need to be smarter for me? Him. Do you know what I need to be the foundation? This. I don't need the world to be telling me what's good anymore. I don't need to get smarter in the world. I don't need to chase any more social media or anybody else's opinion because we run around chasing Facebook, They look like they're right. I'll chase them. How about forget that? Don't chase me. Don't chase Carrie. Don't chase Pastor Mark. Chase Jesus. Then you'll find peace. Amen. And that's what we need to hear. And the whole world needs to hear it. And if I can't operate in what I'm doing in life out of that foundation, thank God we live in America, then it shows me the value of what it is. A free country that was built on the name of Jesus. I don't care what anybody says outside of these four walls. They can call me out or not. Because Jesus Christ is what this nation was built on to have the freedom to get for me to stand here and talk about the truth. And God has blessed it to the most powerful country in the world to spread that message throughout. And I don't have to care what they think because I cannot be consumed. And neither do you. Boldly come to the throne of God. There's so many things in that. Okay. Jesus is on the boat, but he was not their place of refuge. Your body's the vessel. We're the boat. At times in my life, Jesus has been asleep right in here because the refuge is I'm chasing somewhere else. I'm chasing other things to fix it, running around just like everybody else. And you hear the voices, people in authority, people around us saying, why don't we fix that, Mark? Why is this going that way? I don't know. I'll run over here and fix them all without seeking God, getting good counsel. You know, when I need counsel, call Pastor Mark, call Pastor Dusty, call good Christian, call Richie Oaks, call Christian people, call people that I trust in ministry that know this and get a right answer. I'm not afraid to seek counsel, but I also know that God wants me to go straight to him. I had to learn that the hard way. I had to stop Pastor Mark fixing all my problems. Because at one time I thought, well, Mark's good enough. I can pray to Pastor Mark, and Pastor Mark's good enough that Jesus will hear him and then bless me. And when I left home and Carrie and I went to El Reno, I tell it all the time, went to El Reno, I had to realize that Carrie and I were down there. We had to stand on our own 2 feet because Pastor Mark's in Leedy. And we started going straight to God. He sent us to El Reno for 2 years for a lot of ministry work and some good things to happen, but also that Carrie and I were there and we stood on our own 2 feet and found out how we could go straight to the throne of God and begin to worship and fulfill our destiny. Then he brought us back and planted us back where we belong to fulfill the destiny that we have here. And that's a good deal. Jesus said, don't you have any faith? Whose faith has wavered at times? We talk about Matthew 6:33. I do want to go to 1 John 4:18. I always jump around and Carrie will find it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus is that big in my life. When he comes in, the compassion fills me up today. It feels like my heart's going to beat out of my chest because I have to get it out. Because this love is tangible to the touch. I mean, it's tangible to the... how much God loves us, and then I feel how much he loves everybody when I stand in front of his people. It's just all I can do to not weep. Because he's that big, he's that good, I'm telling you. Okay, so if we were going to wrap this up, there's a post and tweet. Pastor Mark's doing the post and tweet. And so this is kind of the revelation that God, this is kind of the sum it up for the day, okay? As I was putting this together. So reliance and faith in God are manifested on the other side of the storm. Woo! I coined that this morning. God showed me that this morning. But he did. He said, listen, there's a storm always. There's always a pursuit. There's a refuge that you need to find in me, Mark. And when you find that refuge, no matter what the storm is, you keep digging into me. You keep digging into me. I'm going to grow you up. I'm going to show you how big of a God I am. I'm going to ultimately bring you victory. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to redeem you. And the end of that, there will be a manifestation of my glory that goes forth before you on the other side of the storm. Woo! Because let me tell you something. I never grew until there was a storm. Oh, if you're in one today, you're in a good spot because I'm telling you what, if you'll dig into God, reach out to him as the refuge in your life and seek him hard, he's going to take you to the other side of that storm. He's going to restore you. He's going to manifest it not only in your own life, to everybody else around him. And you know what he's going to tell everybody through you? That I am the Lord your God and I do not change. Woo! And I've bought you back and I love you. That's what he's going to do on the other side of it for you. And he wants everybody to see that glory pour out of you. He's going to manifest it through you. If you're in a storm, just keep digging in and get to the other side of that and let God do a thing and hang on and just hang on. Because I've been in a spot, I'm going, I got one thread. I've been holding it. How many people, I'm just going to keep grabbing. Feel like you're in quicksand at times. Just keep grabbing. Keep grabbing. Reliance and faith in God are manifested on the other side of the storm. Reliance on Him because of the storm. I rely on God today because He took me through the storm. Because He already defeated the bear and the lion in my life. Just like when David, before he fought Goliath, David had already beat the bear and the lion. Amen. So when he got over there, it's the same way with me. I feel that way. Reliance and faith in God was on the other side. Okay, Hebrews 11:6, and then I'm going to close. Everybody get something today? What I want you to do is be passionate. What God would say is come in here and boldly tell people that I'm a good God and I love them. And salvation's out there for you. If you don't know Jesus, today's the day of salvation, and you will after today. And after today, when you walk out the door, start walking in the victory of it. There's two things. If I went out and traveled around the world and God told me to tell the people, find salvation in me. Either you need to be saved or you need to start walking in greater victory of what that salvation is. Don't we? We need to walk in greater victory of the salvation of God. Ah, oh, I got up this morning. God, I'm not. I want more of that victory. I want more of what I feel today in your presence. Oh, we got to go back out in the world. Okay. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This is where Pastor Ty went last week. And I was fixing to just jump up and just start preaching right behind him because I was putting this word together and I was like, woo, right there, because here's what I'm going to tell you. I know in my own life, because of the past, because of the storm, and because walking over to the other side of it, that I am a rewarder in Jesus' name and I cannot be defeated. And there is no reason to quit. There's no reason for me to quit chasing God. No matter how many times I chase the things that try to make me their refuge and knock me down, I will not quit. There's no reason to, because He's that big of a God. And I already know, because He proved it to me, that I'm a rewarder of that scripture. And if I had one to put it down, it's that one, God. I seek You today. And because I trust You in faith, I know You're going to reward me. The problem is the reward may not be what the world thinks it should be. I don't need a bigger house or a car. I need young people, my family, my children to have family, and them to know who Jesus is. Wow, and there's so much more available and so much better than that. Things are good, but let's just make Jesus our refuge. Amen. Okay, we're going to pray, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. And what I'm going to have Carrie Dent, yeah, we're going to, everybody stand up with me for a moment. I just feel, this is the part I was thinking. There's a compassion right now because I can feel what God's wanting to do in lives today. And it's good, okay? It's so good that it's hard to stand in it, because I just want to weep with those who are weeping today and tell you that God loves you, because I can feel your pain. And I've been there. Father God, I come to You right now in Jesus' name, God. I speak over Your people, God. Lord, I know that You've got your stuff's breaking right now in Jesus' name. I'm thankful, God, that the Holy Spirit is here and that You're moving in people's lives today. God, just continue to reveal Yourself deeper into the hearts of Your people in need today here and listening online, God. We're just thankful, God. I'm thankful that You're doing work. Anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. I want everybody here to pray this, please. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask You to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I repent of my sins before You this day. I denounce Satan and all of his works. I confess Jesus as Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that you rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, with every head bowed right quick and eyes closed, I want to make a call right here. Nobody looking around. Right now, if you're feeling in your heart that God is saying it, that today we're going to make, that you're going to make, you may be saved, but today you're making God your refuge again. Just slip your hand up. Say, I'm making you my refuge, Lord, today. Yes. Hands going up everywhere. Today you're my refuge, Lord. And God just wants the acts of obedience, and we're just going to move forward. I believe every person today needs you more, Lord. So I'm going to pray and close. And I just want to do that call because God sees you in your heart. It's not about raising your hand. He knows. But that's an act of you in your flesh just saying, I need you, Lord, as my refuge. So, Father God, we come to you, God, as we close, Lord. I'm thankful for your word. God, I thank you for your people today. I'm thankful, God, that you've changed my life, that you've restored my family, my children, their future. And God, I just trust you today with all things. I trust you that this word was from you, God, today. And God, just be with us this week as we start to dig in and we make you our refuge until next week. God, I know you love your people and today's was a great day. Your word cannot come back void. And we just, until we meet again, we just love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. I'm here. Carrie's here. If anybody needs prayer, I feel like that we're here to pray for. I feel like some people need prayer. If you do, I'm going to have Carrie come up here with me, and we're going to stay here and pray. It's a good day. Amen.